Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Tim Stafford with, I guess I should now introduce myself since Stevie will just not leave it alone. I'll have to introduce myself, Dr. Tim Stafford, because he just won't leave it alone. He always calls me Dr. Stafford now, so I guess that's the way I'm just supposed to own it. So, good evening. This is Dr. Tim Stafford, and I am glad to be on the air with you again with one of our episodes of the Stevie Anderson Radio Show, and of course, our host, Stevie Anderson, is also with us, and we're going to be talking about a very important subject tonight. Can domestic violence be cured? And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about other things as well. But this is when we typically hang out here. We talk to sometimes we mostly hang out on Monday nights. A couple of times a month we get together and talk about some issues and find out what's going on with Stevie and just kind of what's on the horizon. Tonight is a little bit odd in that he's been traveling and doing some things, and we haven't been on the air in a while, so we decided let's try to put something together for Thursday night. So we hope that you're listening. And if you're listening in archive, thanks so much for being a part of our show. You are a major part of our audience, those of you that listen in archive. If you happen to be listening to the show tonight and you'd like to call in and be a part of the show, it's really easy. Just get on your phone and call 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724, and we would love to have you be a part of the show. And so, Stevie, you have been, I imagine you've been golfing some. I mean, it's kind of your thing. So tell us how that's been going. Where have you been, and how's it been going?
We're going to get to that. I mean, how you doing, Dr. Stafford? How you doing?
See, you almost called me Tim. You almost
right.
Rolled out the tongue. Because that's what I go by every day, all day. So,
but listen, I'm gonna keep saying this forever. Is that listen? You have to own that because you worked hard for that. So
yeah,
have to own that. You're a doctor, and that's it. That's just the way it's gonna be. You worked hard for it, and you prayed about it. It worked out. It happened. That's it.
It did.
Ride in the car. That's your car you're riding in, and that's your car you have to keep light. So that's it.
Okay.
So. But besides that, though, I have been improving my game. I guess it's not sad to say what it is. I haven't made it yet. But, the listeners, I'm still fighting for it. I'm going to make it. I'm not going to give up. If it comes to the point that I have to give up, I'm running out of gas, I'll let you guys know. But for now, I'm not out of gas. I'm just filled my tank up. But everything's going well, Tim. No complaints. I just, in a sense, it's been a lot of chaos going on across the news. But if you're a believer, you kind of look back at it and look at everybody else and look at them running all over the place, not understanding what's going on. But it speaks it everything that's happening in the Bible. But you have people talk about the Bible, talk against the Bible, and now
right. Listen.
I'm not a minister. That's you, okay? Now I have a lot of friends. I travel, but I'm saying is this: I get on my knees now. I get on my knees and I know what's going on in the world. And don't be a fool not to know if you're a believer. Look in your Bible. You don't have to go to church. Don't go to church. But look at the Bible. The Bible's going to tell you what's going on today that is going to happen. It gave you a warning years ago, way before we were born. And it's happening.
Right.
So it's a lot of things going on in the news that a lot of people just don't want to open their eyes up to see. It's come to the point right now, it's more than just going to get up in the morning, going to your job and making a living for yourself. It's more like now it's about, when I get up now in the morning, am I going to make it to work? Am I going to be shot at? or am I going to catch this horrible disease, Ebola,
mm-hmm.
wherever this is coming from, or am going to work right now, and I get there, someone's going to be writing something bad on me, male or female, to write me up to get me fired. It's evil days. It is literally evil days. You see. So now, if you're going to wake up, or you're going to go back to sleep and get caught up in the evilness that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's your option right now, this damn point. I'm not saying not to have a good time with your friends and hang out and whatnot, but these days you better do a resume on your friends. You better do a resume and talk to them. You know, it's a difference between meeting friends or meeting people. You know, you do like we used to do, meet friends through somebody else. You know,
if
I have an open mind, don't read about what they've done. Talk to them personally. See where their mind's at. Because you have people right now, you have a lot of entertainers out there believing in the devil. And we up there, there are people out there today just wishing up on it and don't even know what's going on. There's a lot of things out there. I have to say this, Tim, because I need to let our audience know what's going on out there in the world today. Don't be a fool that the devil is not at work. Ever since after 666, Tim, I could see things starting to happen. And Lord knows I went through some things back in 666. You hear me? So I'm saying ever since that day, all the way through now, Tim, a lot of things have been happening in the world.
Yeah.
You can be a fool and say, let me go get another drink. Let me go down here and go smoke some. No, let me go hang out. Oh, we just signed another contract. Oh, let's go party. Go ahead. Don't pay attention. It's like driving down the road, and all of a sudden you don't know if it's a dead end. You go off the dead end. But open your eyes up. And this is a lot going on this month. Actually, Tim, is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, right? Yes, October, National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And you have a lot of people actually wearing purple ribbons for this month. And I actually I'll talk about that. But before I talk about that, though, actually, the blessing to actually talk to a group of young teens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. It was Inspiration Youth and Families. And let me tell you, Tim, when I walked in and I saw these teens, male and females, and man, it was the best thing ever. And I would say this to each and every one of us as adults. And I know we get busy in our lives. I know some of us work tirelessly, one or two jobs, and even three jobs a day. And I would say myself that I've been very, very short of not getting out there and spending time with the youth like I should be. Even in college, as a recreation major back then, major change, we used to go and work with youth groups and special need individuals. We did that back in school, way back in 90 in school. That was a requirement in my field that I grew up in, that I was in college. But we have as adults, let us not fall short, please, of working with the youth. It was such an honor just to sit down and talk to these teens. You can look at them, and as I was talking to them, they're so doggone intelligent these days. Their minds are just exposed with so much goodness and exposed with so much negativity. Because we have it it's all on the news, it's all on the internet. social media everywhere. Social media has helped in one way, but in another way, it's hurt us. Social media has been a really good thing for us in a lot of ways, in a lot of negative ways, but also good. But I think it's actually 70-40 negative. But Tim, it was an honor to talk to these youth. A lot of troubled teens, in a sense. When I say troubled, they going through troubled times. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent, Tim. I mean, Dr. Stafford, and it was just a pleasure to talk to this group. And you'd be surprised how much they want to know too. They're reaching out for help.
Yeah.
And they feel sorry for themselves. In a sense, I let them know, don't feel sorry. This is just a temporary spot you're at right now. A lot of things happen in life. God put you back, or sometimes you just put back so you can see. So you can see better. So you see a better situation. And I kind of told them about my life in a lot of different ways. And we ran out of time because there's so much I can tell about my life. But about how so many stumbling blocks I've been through in my life. And I was explaining to them. But we as adults, we have to spend more time. If someone will allow you to talk to the youth, if it's there to talk to them, reach out. And even if not, I'm saying allow you to. I know there's things that some people go through with their, you know, their girlfriend, wives, whatever, and that a lot of times you can't reach to your kids. But when you can, even if out there, if you can't, let these be your kids. Our youth are our kids. And I explain that to them. Get the help from the adults that's there. They're the moms and dads away from home. So we have to, as adults, look into that and reach out, and you'd be surprised how much you feel, how good you feel when you leave and what you're doing. I just apologize. I've been just behind on doing that, but one thing about it, I'm going to keep moving forward and reach out and helping them. But I wanted to talk about that. It was a fantastic experience, this time, fantastic time spending with the youth, and you know, pray that God and I have to put them on the right track. Also, to Dr. Stafford, this is the month of domestic violence awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, I know I'm talking a lot, huh? You want to say anything? Because I'm just talking all over the place.
Hey, man, you just go right ahead. I am tuned in.
Okay, because I'm all over the place. I'm in Florida, I'm in Louisiana, Texas, California, Hawaii, all over across the country, Europe somewhere. I'm all over the place, but give me one second. But what I was going to say, this is the Domestic Violence Month of Awareness. Before we get into domestic violence, we're going to go into it right now. I'm going to read you the definition of domestic violence. It says it's a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another partner. I'll read it again. The definition says, of domestic violence, a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another partner. Mm-hmm. Any power partner. Okay? And get into this, and I know you guys have been looking all over the news, been tuning to the news, and all I've been talking about is football players. Well, let me tell you something about football players. And I have to say this because the fact is I'm a former football player, and I've been blessed to have two brothers that played in the National Football League. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what happened. Now, my mom could have been a football coach. My mom knew more about football than 90% of coaches out there know today. Okay? And that's a fact. My mom, we'll come back to my mother. But what I'm saying about this football situation, do not let the media creep into an evil situation in your minds to hinder, to change the fact of letting your young boys play football, high school level, collegiate, or professional, in their dreams to reach because of what the media has put out about football players. Let me tell you, there are a percentage of football players out there that, yeah, have that actually putting into action domestic violence, yes, which is terribly wrong. We'll get to that. At the same time, I've had the pleasure to be around some of the finest men that God has created on this planet. Now, whether you believe me or not, I don't care. I'm just telling you what I've seen with my own eyes. Some of the calmest men that they can just turn the volume on the football field and off the football field, it's like a whole other level. Like they come down to just like, what level are you on? I mean, just genuine. Men that actually, there were some men that actually believed in the God, and there were some that was like crossed the line. But they were some of the just, I want to be like them. I used to copy them in a sense. I want to be like them. And that's how they were. There's guys in New York and the Cardinals I played with, the Jets and the Cardinals I played with. If they said, Steve, I need you to come do something, I would get up right now and do something for them. That's how much I respected them. That's how they were. Now, maybe one on a team, two, maybe, that, you know, is like, I don't know this dude, you know, I don't know what this dude's thinking. But maybe. And I have to really think about that. But not let the media trample your minds and thinking that all football players are abusive. Don't let that happen. Don't let it happen. The media can write anything they want to write. And what's happened this day and time, the media writes so many things down, all of a sudden everybody believe it now. You're just confused, right? Well, they wrote this down. I believe it. No, do not let them be brainwashed. Your young boys want to play football because discipline is preached and applied daily as a football player. And there's a percentage. You know, and speaking of percentages, domestic violence. The situation between, you want to talk about men, the highest percentage is policemen and their families. They're the one that is 40% more likely to have domestic violence in homes. To law enforcement. But did we just say the definition of that, of domestic violence? Did we say about maintain power? All right? Doctors, lawyers, football players is 2%. 2% of football players. Let me tell you something. It's a lot of football players, a lot of them, from collegiate to professional. It's a lot of football players. So don't let the media confuse you about allowing your sons to play football. That's their dreams, but you preach to them and let them know that they do not hit a female. Female. And even in a situation that they see the thing occurring, to move away from the situation. You know, because no football, no, you know, no men, none of us men, number one, you should not be hitting a female. I don't care how tough a female thinks she is, she's supposed to be. God made us first as a man, made female second. It's a reason for that. Now, let me tell you, there are some females, yeah, that will, that can hurt a lot of men out here. Yeah, they are. They're tough. There are some females that grew up with boys that are just tough as 50% of men out here. Yes, they are. But as men, you're built different. Inside, you're just a little bit stronger. Whether you work on it or not, if you hit a female, you're going to hurt her. You just have extra power that God gave you, whether you use it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't strike. You can't hit a female. You can't.
Right.
You have to. And if you think to the fact that you're going to raise your hand up to hit a female, let me tell you what you do. You talk to her and say, listen, if it's a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, or a marriage, you say, let's sit down and talk. Let me tell you what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pack my bags because I'm becoming very, very nervous. I almost hit you. It even crossed my mind to hit you. I'm going to leave because I want you to make it in life and go on and find someone that you can get along with. I love you because I want you to do better in life. I want you not to be around me, mind me for me making you upset, to causing you in a situation to escalate. And you know what? That's vice versa. It's the same with a female. The same way. Go to your girlfriend and say, listen, I'm coming over. Can I stay there until I get myself on my feet? I'm going home to your parents. Whatever. I don't care if you're 80 years old and your parents are 50. No, seriously. You have to pack your bags and leave. Now, I'm going to give you some, how you cure it. I'm going to give you some things that says here that people are talking about. But that's what I'm telling you that you should do. I'm going to say, take it this. They said, how do we cure it? And here's some situations here. See what you guys think. It says no specific cause for domestic violence. It says higher risk. It says male partner abuses drugs, alcohol, unemployed, not graduated from high school, mindset of power over another, grew up in a household with domestic violence. I'm going to say it again. Grew up in a household with domestic violence. So they're seeing it, so they think it's okay. That's why I said you need to sit down with your partner and say, listen here, this is why we can't do this. I love you, but I have to go. And I know that's hard, and I know why I don't want to go, but someone has to go. Because you raise your hand and hit her, you're going to do it. It's easy to do it the next time. And then the next time. And all of a sudden, what if someone gets injured? What if you end up hitting a female, and all of a sudden you hit in the wrong place and you kill her? Vice versa.
Right.
You can hit a guy in the wrong place and kill him. It works both ways, but in a sense, we're always talking about men because men, it's just it's more often than men. So we have to talk about us. We have to leave. We have to get up and leave. We can't stay around. I don't care what it is because I don't care if it's financially, if you've been helped, if she's helping you, whatever it is, mentally. Not mentally, because it'd be a situation like that. Financially, whatever it is, you feel like, well, I got to stay here because, no, you have to leave. Because if something happened, you in prison, all the other thing, everything else doesn't count anymore. Now, then you're going handcuffed, go on to jail, then they're going to charge you. Then you come out, and everybody's afraid of you. But since they're doing the media these days, everybody go to the media and they believe everything they see in the media. So we have to be aware of that. Tim, go ahead and talk. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. I have to talk about the football player situation because the fact is we know who's out there in the news right now. I'm not calling about his name because I don't know their situation. You have a situation
right.
where certain people are actually both interacting in domestic violence. So how am I going to come in on that? You see, that's a problem.
Right.
Okay. Now I'm, you know what? I got to talk about the doctors and everything. Yeah, counseling makes a difference. I'm quite sure it does make a difference going and getting counseling to look at the situation from the outside. And it's like, okay, me say, well, we have kids over here. We care about kids like this. But for us as men, we can't raise our hand for you as a female. I don't care if she can pick me up. She's that strong. I don't care if she's working with CrossFit, whatever she is. She's in fitness. That doesn't mean that we have to scream at her. That means that all of a sudden now she's stronger than I am, that I'm going to be mean to her. It doesn't matter. And because she can't defend herself, all of a sudden now we want to, you know what? No, you keep talking, I'm going to knock you off your block. I'm going to knock you down. Keep talking, I'm going to slap you. Can't do that, man.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Right.
You know, we hear this day and time to make a place better, not to hurt it. Go ahead, Tim. You was about to say something.
No, I actually wasn't, but I was just going to ask you a question. So what do you think, you know, from your perspective, you know, what's the cure here? I mean, you know, how do we get to a point? I mean, obviously, you're telling men and women, you know, you have to stand up for yourself or in some cases stand up for the other person and say, look, you know, I got a hot head or whatever. But what do you think the real cure is that's going to help, you know, keep this kind of violence away from families, because it affects so many different people. I mean, you, of course, are speaking to some things that have been in the news about, you know, football players and whatnot. But, you know, I mean, it's happening next door. I mean, it's happening everywhere we look. And what do we do to help, you know, curb that? What are your thoughts on that?
Now, what I'm doing, I'm speaking about football players and everything else, but I'm speaking about things that I've seen that other people go through in their lives, not just what happened in the football situation. I'm talking about things that I've seen in life. But first of all, how to cure this situation. Everyone's different, number one, but I would say educate. First of all, our youth about healthy and abusive relationships. Healthy versus abusive. Then you have to intervene before violence erupts. That's what I'm saying, talking about the situation. Sit down and talk to that person. And if it gets out of hand, that, you know what? Because there's some men, I had a story told me. Now, everyone knows about the men being abusive to women. That's nothing. That is, now they have women's groups, which is a great thing in a sense to help women, because there are some women out there just that, you know, that men didn't know when if they hit a female, they just lost their mind. They tried to kill them. And have killed women, but there's incidences where women have a guy was telling me a woman kept calling the cops. No one would come. They look at him and laugh at him and keep going. But the woman was literally beating the guy. She's beating him on a daily basis. And a young guy came telling me that on the golf course. And I was like, really? Yeah. And you know, he was embarrassed enough to tell his friend what was going on. He can't hit her. He was raised not to hit her, and that was a good thing. But he forgot to leave. No one told him to leave. So I'm saying, back in an intervening situation, before violence erupts, leave situation. Avoid escalating the situation.
Right.
Arguing. You know, if you argue, sit down and talk about why are we arguing. What are we doing? We're getting loud. I was on a golf course yesterday, and we played one hole on number 9 or 8 something. I heard this person arguing way 3 holes away. And by the time I got over there, all the guys were looking over at the couples, looking at them, and then they finally stopped. No one was saying a thing to them. They're just arguing. I mean, just saying everything. Okay, but listen, then you have kids looking at this. Okay, counseling, we talked about that, therapy for abuser and abuse, empower the victim. male or female, give information, give resources, support. And support comes from our neighbors, our loved ones, church, number one. Prayer is always there. People forget to pray. And if a person is not on the same page, we talked about this. I don't know how many episodes of this. We talked about the music, like you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
If the rhythm, the music doesn't match, the rhythm's not there, you have, it's not going to work. The music's not going to sound right. There's no different than you have, if I go up to right now, Tim, and try to sing, and try to hit some notes, you'd be like, get this guy off the stage immediately. So if you get up on stage, play your music, Dr. Stafford, they're going to be like, this sounds good. This sounds good. It's no different than a relationship. It's no different relationship. We're just not looking on the outside and the inside what's going on with us. What do you think about that?
Well, we have a caller, so let's see if we can get the caller in.
Okay, go ahead.
Caller, you're on the air with Stevie Anderson. What's your name?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. You're on the air.
Okay. My name is Denise O'Shea.
We hear you loud and clear.
All righty.
Who's that?
My name is Denise O'Shea.
Oh, Denise, hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Stevie. How are you? I'm glad to hear. It's been wonderful listening to your show today. And it was great having you at our facility the other day.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being there. Talk to us. Tell us what your thoughts.
Well, you know, you're talking about the cures for domestic violence. And, you know, we have to look at, you know, what causes it? Where does it come from? And I am the director of education at Inspirations. And I believe it's how we educate, what we teach. And I think you're both, I think, Dr. Stafford, you're a father, I believe.
I am. Indeed.
Yeah, and as parents, did you ever have parenting classes when you were in school?
I did not have parenting classes, no.
No, you didn't, did you?
No.
Like many, many of us out there. All
right?
Right. So we're winging it. All right? We're doing the best we can. So I believe that if we got back to the basics, you know, which is the family, which is, you know, educating our people to know how to be a parent. What is a good parent?
Right.
A lot of us, you know, domestic violence comes, of course, you know, I'm dealing with kids that are probably, a lot of them, victims of domestic violence and also have created domestic violence themselves in their homes. And that is due to sense and a lot of things. But most of them, when they're adolescents, have had something traumatic happen, all right, even before they start.
So Denise.
Hmm?
Hello? So basically,
yes.
They're seeing it at home.
Normally, you know, they could be seeing it at home, yes. They could have an alcoholic parent. We know that substance abuse plays a huge role in domestic violence, probably the largest role in domestic violence, I would say. You have the abuser and you have the abusee, you have the victim, you know, and then you have the person. You know, it's very deep. I mean, normally somebody who stays in an abusive relationship is, for some reason, within them, they feel they deserve it. So, you know, there might be something that has happened in their life that they misunderstood, because it can be two words that can affect a child. They can have a great family life. They can have the best parents in the world that do everything and anything. And outside of the home, something can happen. Two words can be said to a child that can make them believe that they're not smart. We label by treatment. So, you know, it's, I think if we went back to where, you know, back in the day, you know, in school, we took certain classes, like girls could take sewing and boys could take woodwork and, you know, mechanics, and we had to take home economics, things like that. Cooking. We live in a world now where, you know, both parents are working most of the time. It's very rarely, I believe, in American society that we, you know, actually sit down to a meal at a table. We're being drawn away to all of our technologies. So I think if a cure for domestic violence would be really to initiate that they teach parenting, that there's therapy at school, communication at school, there is outside support system so that we educate and teach peace and teach people what is good parenting. How do you know if you don't haven't ever had it? Maybe you were a child that was abandoned. An abandoned person will be an extremely controlling person in life because they feel that everybody's going to leave them. And they can be very, and they can, so it's very deep, and it's a very sad topic.
But see, that's very, very detailed and deep right there, you're saying, because a lot of times you're saying a kid that's been abandoned their whole life can be the one that's abusive in a situation, the one that's been an abuser.
It's like, I hate you, don't leave me. You know, there's a book called I Hate You, Don't Leave Me. And that would be very typical of somebody who's been abandoned. And, you know, abandonment is not just, you know, maybe a child, you know, a child that's been adopted, or it could be a child that woke up for a second and nobody was home, that feeling. So it's funny how it incorporates itself within us. And so in a sense, you know, we're, as human beings, reacting every moment from different things that happen in our environment that can have a huge impact. So if we don't have some sort of support system, which we know that our children are at school most part of the day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, this is where, you know, the education is going on. This is where we need to, you know, teach the most important part of life is the family and children and us. And it's just kind of forgotten in a sense. And I think it needs to be brought back into schools in some way.
So you're saying that even just as a community, like I was mentioning before, when I was over, like I said, pleasure having to talk to the youth, I was mentioning about how my neighbors believe in discipline. The whole strip, the whole community, not just my neighbors, the whole community was that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't use it. We didn't abuse it, though.
It's a different type of sense, because my children were brought up in Portugal, in the town of Cascais. So the international community was very small, and I could talk to the vendor on the street and say, "Oh, were the kids by here today? Where are they?" You know what I mean? And it was an acute community effort. But most people don't have that. You know, in reality, most people don't have that. And it's beautiful when it happens, and it's beautiful when the community is all on the same page. As Americans, we live very individually. You know, it's different culture in a sense. And as technology has taken over our lives, we're drawn. We have all these things we have to do. I mean, even as a mother, I mean, in my generation, it was started to be looked upon that if you were a mother, that wasn't really something important. Right, it's one of the most important roles anyone could play, you know, because we're bringing up children.
No, it's funny you say that. Go ahead. I'm listening. Go ahead.
And so there became like this struggle between, you know, with a woman where all of a sudden she, you know, we were starting to be educated at school that, you know, we can be professionals. It's women's love. Yes, it's great. We should be paid the same as men. All of these things I believe truly, but we should be honored and respected as mothers. When we have children, I feel that, you know, you can see in the professional world with women, I'm a professional woman, I've been a professional most of my life, but you can see the ones that are just mothers, you'll say, oh, I'm just a mother.
Huh.
I mean, for me, when a mother can actually be able to stay at home with her children at least the first 5 years of their lives, and they have a man that's providing for that, I mean, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I found in Europe, you know, the mother is allowed 3 months off of work. They believe that the child should be breastfed for 3 months, so the mother is given, you know, full pay, 3 months off, they've installed nurseries in most large companies so that the mother can have the child on site. And mm-hmm. I think if we restructuring our lives more around the family and more helping those out who have children, whether they're single parents or not single parents, we need to have a, you know, a strong sense of the importance of that.
So what
and,
do you think?
You know, there's many out there that don't have children, and we need them. You know, those single moms out there and people that, you know, maybe they couldn't have children for whatever, or maybe they don't, you know, please help the ones out there do. You know, lend a hand. You know, it's not easy for a single mother. You know, I was a single mother for many years. You're juggling many hats. You know, you have to have your boundaries. You have to be very strict. You know, it's not easy.
So you're saying Denise, you're saying in a sense that basically that it's coming as, it's kind of like growing into our youth in a sense, the domestic violence. You're saying it's kind of get back on the increased level because of,
I think that human beings, many suffer from rage and anger and resentment and disappointment and many things. It's part of us. And I think that there needs to be, you're only as good as what you know, all right? So if you're taught at least some type of base of, you know, what is it to be a husband? What is it to be a wife? What is it to be a mother, a father? How do I do that? All right, there's a natural part that comes into being, but we are going to imitate what was taught to us. So if we had a parent that perhaps got angry and every day we came in, one day it was all right to put our books on the table, and the next day they were screaming at us for putting them at the same place, that child starts growing up not very healthy, all right, because he'll have a hard time making decisions because every time he thought he was doing it correct, he was now told that he wasn't. And again, two words can change a person's life for good, and two words can change a person's life for bad if they believe the story. Children will believe, will make up stories of things and believe them and think it's true for the rest of their life, you know, and maybe it was a lie. You know?
Yeah,
and they're angry about it. And so maybe they'll start to get into their teens and maybe, you know. So I think it's a community effort. I think we need to readdress as we go more into technology and blended learning and all of these things that would be important to establish that we have at least some type of communication courses that have to be, you know, taken at school as well as parenting classes and personal finance
right.
and things that build
right.
a structure.
Well,
Denise,
hold on
right.
Denise, hold on one second.
Right.
Tim, what do you think about that, Tim? You have anything you want to hang on
well,
what you said?
I mean, there's several things really. Number one is that to echo what Denise is saying is important that people understand that what you do say to children is really it can have lasting effect. I mean, I had a seventh grade geography teacher who basically told me that I was academically worth nothing, that I would never amount to anything, and you know. To this day, I mean, I can smell, I can talk about this event, and I can actually smell the perfume that she wore. I mean, it's a very real event. It's something that I've had to overcome. It's something that I've had to overcome in the midst of failing at certain times in my life as far as, you know, you try something. Academics is a good example, but, you know, if a teacher tells you that, and then every time you academically struggle, you remember that somebody told you that you weren't very good at this to begin with, and who are you kidding? And so, you know, it's important that we do that, and it's important that that we have, you know, that our children are brought up in a way that they become who they are, and they also understand that you know, they have a special place in the world. I mean, the world would not be the same without them. And I know for myself, I had no parenting classes, certainly. But I do know this, having parented now one that's in college and I've got one in middle school, I know two things. Number one, I know that parenting is not for cowards. That's for sure. I mean, you're going to have to show up and you're going to have to make some tough decisions and you're going to have to make sacrifices that you never thought you were going to make. And it's all so that you can courageously raise children to become everything that they were designed to be. And then the second thing I know is that my children will never be me. And I think that's the important mm-hmm. part here, that is that my children, you know, I want my children to become who they are. And one, I don't want to vicariously live through them, because I need to live my own life and they need to live theirs. But at the same time, you know, they're not going to, I don't want them to become me. So I have to be honest. I have to be honest with my children about my own shortcomings. And, you know, I can tell you that some of the most powerful times I've had with both of my children are the times I sat down with them and I said, you know what, you guys, or one or the other, you know, I was wrong in the way that I handled the situation, or, you know, I just didn't understand what you were saying. I've thought about this, and now I understand what you're saying, and I just didn't understand. Or, you know what, I made a call, and it was a wrong call. And so, you know what, I apologize. I think sometimes we as parents, we get caught up in the idea that, you know, especially if we grew up in a difficult situation at all. I grew up in a very difficult scenario. A lot of our listeners have grown up in difficult scenarios. A lot of children are growing up in difficult scenarios. And the reality is, when you grow up in a difficult scenario, you tend to create difficult scenarios, because that's what's normal to you. And I always have to go back and say, you know what, I made this more difficult than it needed to be. And by really looking at that and saying, not so much that I didn't have any models, but the model that I did have had some issues, and I have to be able to overcome those with my own children, then they don't then become the recipient of what I had to endure as a bad scenario. I think people have to understand that, you know, I can stop the cycle. I have that power within me. And just because something bad happened to me doesn't mean that I have to now carry that. Just because a teacher told me that I was worthless doesn't mean I have to tell my children or tell my students or tell my coworkers. I mean, I can stop it. I have the power. Anyone that's listening to this conversation, if you haven't heard anything that Denise has said, and you haven't heard anything that Stevie said, and you haven't heard anything that I've said, hear this, that you can stop the cycle today. You can do it. You have the power to do it. The thing is that you just have to begin to be honest with yourself and be honest about your past and be honest about the things that hurt you, and then just don't pass those on. You have to, and that might mean that you're going to need to get some help, and so go get some help. But I'm just saying that, you know, in my life, I was determined to stop the patterns that had affected me. And I'll be honest with you, it was not easy. It's very easy to fall into those patterns because they're normal. They feel normal. But that is not normal. It's broken. And I think people just have to understand mm-hmm. that. And I think once we get to that point, then have I raised my children perfectly? I have not. By any stretch of the imagination, I have not. In fact, they were on the phone. Nor have any of us. I mean, But the truth is, I did everything I could to break the cycle, and I don't see the cycle in my own children. And so that's where I know that I've succeeded, and I didn't have to fail, because I don't see the same cycles in them. I don't see the same, you know, cycles of violence and all the other things that I grew up with. So, you know,
Go ahead, Denise.
Children. You know, they want to do everything to please their parents from the minute they're little. Remember, you remember when they're little mm-hmm. and they're looking up at you. So when you're upset and when you're sad about something, it's important that you communicate that. And that's what I'm hearing from you. It's about being truthful. We are real people learning till the day we pass from this world. And we are no better than them. Things are going to happen to us that we're going to do that we go, oh, wow. But it's communication. It's being real. It's telling the truth
right.
and sitting them down and say, I'm sad today because my mother is very ill. You didn't do anything wrong, all right? So they understand
right.
that you, mom is sad because of this other event that happened. So I'm a little sad today.
Right.
I'm a little, you know, it's being truth. It's being real. So that they understand. So as they grow, you know, they want you to watch them ride the bike, and sometimes they make you do it a million times, and you're like, oh, God, here we go again, you know. And when you're not there, and that feeling, and a child, I had a, years ago, I was speaking to a psychologist that had gone to, out to do her internship in an orphanage in Portugal, out in one of these villages. And I said to her, wow, isn't it great, though, that they have this place, because it's, they have very small villages out there. People live in one-room homes, and so there's a lot of stuff that happens, and a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of bad stuff. And I'm thinking, thank God they have this safe place. And she looked at me, and she goes, the worse they were abused, the more every Sunday they get dressed even better to go and wait to see if that parent comes and sees them.
Say it again.
Okay. A friend of mine, psychologist, she was working at an orphanage in Portugal, and this is where, you know, a lot of these kids that got taken off their parents for domestic abuse, for whatever, sexual abuse. And I said to her, I said, thank God they have this place out there that they can, you know, take these kids and, you know. And she looked at me and she goes, you know what? The more they were abused by the parents, or the worst cases, are the ones that every Sunday get dressed up the best to see if maybe that parent's going to come and visit them.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
So that's the impact we have on our child's life. So, you know, they look at us, we're their gods, we're the only thing they know, we're their safe spot, we're their security, we're their support. And so it's communicating, it's being truthful, it's being real. When you're not okay, you need to explain it. If dad's not okay and he's drinking, explain it. Take them away. You do not engage in violence. You walk away.
Right.
You see, all right, because they need an audience when they're doing it. Okay, so if you don't give them an audience and you don't engage and you don't let those words where you want to respond get out, you leave. You take your children, you take and you go away. So you don't engage, and you hope that when they're all right the next day, you plead for them to get help. And that's why I said, again, not only teaching, you know, some parenting skills and things like that, life skills in school and making it obligatory, communication groups, where kids have to communicate. Stevie, you saw the other day when we went in a big circle after Stevie came, and we did what we call pass the peace. So we took the football, and each one passed it to the person next to them, and they had to say something good about them. The energy when we got to the end of the circle was just amazing, because everybody is so unique and beautiful, and there's, oh, you know, if we could just, you know, nothing's good or bad. It's only the way we think it. Okay? We can look at something horribly, or we can say, you know what? I see that, you know, wow. And wasn't that beautiful?
It was
really,
very powerful.
You know, and if we could just go back to, you know, stimulating that within our children and in the schools, so that the ones that are not getting in the families, that there's a support system, there's some parenting workshops, there's family workshops. You know, we need to engage. Because if they're not educated and they don't know, and, you know, they're out in the blue. I get the parents when the kids are out, you know, they're already, you know, there's already holes all over the walls in their house, all right? Their kid is sneaking out. They are locking, you know, they're putting the, you know, the alarms and the bells and the whistles and all of this. When it's gone to the total breakdown. And do you know how many people will not address this? Do you know how many people will continue to keep it in their closet? And these children, the sooner you address these issues, the sooner, the better.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner we give them the tools. I tell these kids when they come in and all they want to do is go back home. It's not easy to be sent out of your home and into rehab. First of all, your life is in a breakdown anyway. Now, here you are in rehab away from, you know, now you've been sent away. And, you know, I look at them and I said, you know, most people in their whole life are not going to have these 30, 60, 90 days to reflect on themselves and go, who am I? Who really am I?
Right.
Well, Denise, I'll tell you one thing. You are incredible. And I'm glad you came onto the show, and we're going to have you back.
Thank you.
Our time is running up. I wanted to keep talking for another 2 or 3 hours because it's awesome. And you're doing a terrific thing, what you're doing with the youth. I'm glad you came on the show. And I said again, we will talk to you. We'll bring you back on the show. We're going to have some other topics coming up, so I'll make sure I reach out to you to explain to the audience what's really going on and what you have your hands in and what we're forgetting. But you just talking opened my mind up. I know it opened Tim's up. Dr. Tim's, sorry. It was very powerful. again, I can't thank you enough. Tim, you want to say anything before she go? Tim? Dr. Tim?
No, thank you so much. Well, I just appreciate you, all that you're doing to take on some of the most difficult cases, because I have place in my heart for that, because I came from a difficult place, and I know that the people that opened up their heart to me made all the difference in the world. So thanks for doing that and being a part of that, and I'll look forward to having you on the show again and getting to talk to you more.
Oh, thank you so much, and keep doing what you both are doing, because you're having a huge impact. So thank you.
Thank you.
We got to
so
spread it around.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. Dr. Stafford.
All right.
Let me read this for right quick, Dr. Stafford, and then let you go ahead and finish it out, okay? Domestic violence rate fell 50% between 1995 to 2004, according to Justice Department figures, Shelters in Place, Hotlines, Violence Against Women Act of 1994. Statistics, domestic violence, 4 per year for every 1,000 people. 1 in 3 women will experience physical abuse. 1 in 10 men experience physical violence by an intimate partner. 2013, 360,820 domestic violence incidents. 1,000 per day. 1,000 per day. Okay? 2% football players, 30% to 40% chance police family domestic violence will experience it, and 10% of all others. We have to stop it and do what's right and do better. And so I'm going to let you go ahead and close it out, because there's so much we can talk about. We're going to have to bring this back in the future, this topic, or even the next 2 weeks. Enjoy every bit of it, Dr. Stafford, and hope you guys enjoyed the show.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Stevie Anderson Radio Show. Join us next week, join us next time, as we will get together to talk more about the things that really matter most in your world and in the world around you. Thanks so much for being a part of our show. Good night. God bless you.